Okay, Parshas Re'eh. So Rabbi Abachai brings from the beginning of the Parsha that from Mishlei Perkhov Pasuk Talad Mechorif Atzel Lo Yacharosh. From Rabbi Abachai explains from the fear of the winter, the lazy guy still doesn't plow. Mishal Bekatzir Vayin, and he asks in the later on when it's time to harvest, where's my wheat? And there isn't any. Okay, so Rabbi Abachai points out that Shlomo HaMelech likes to denigrate laziness quite a bit. He does it all over his farm. And here, the mashal specifically is Choref, the winter. That's a mashal to Olam Hazeh, where it's nighttime and cold and dark and bad, and all you have is the moon, as opposed to the summer, which is the main, the Iker, or the spring, summer, whatever it is, where there's light and there's sun, which is the Iker, that's Olam Haba. So he says if in the someone who's lazy in the winter and doesn't plow their field, when it comes summertime, they're going to have nothing. So that's the mashal to someone who in this world is too lazy to work at doing Torah mitzvos and working on their midos. So if they're too lazy for that in this world, in the winter, so when it comes time for rest time, for vacation, the summer, when it's Olam Haba, so then they'll have nothing to support themselves. So that's the pasuk, so therefore you have to take things seriously. And that's has to do with the beginning of the parasha that says, Rei Anochi Nosin Lefneichem Yom Bracha Klala. So, to choose the right thing. Anyway, that's his introduction to Rei. So, just in the Lashonos of the first psukim, it says, Es HaBracha Asher Tishma'u, the bracha that you listen to Hashem's mitzvot. So when it says the bracha, I'm giving you the bracha, that is if you listen to the mitzvot, and the klala if you don't. But it says it's ha-bracha asher tishma'u, and ha-klala im lo tishma'u. So Rabbi Abachai just points out that change in lashon of the bracha that you'll listen, or the klala if you don't listen, because it wants to talk nicely. In other words, you'll avada. Of course, you'll choose bracha, so that's a bracha asher tishmu, that you will listen to vaklala. If you don't, that's a possibility if you don't listen. It's just a way of talking nicely, he points out. Okay, we have the Torah always referring to the Makom HaMikdash as the Ki Im HaMakom Asher Yivcha Hashem Elokeichem Mikol Shivteichem Masum Mashemo Sham. That's in Perikid Beis Pasuk Hey. It never says this place. It's always this place, the place that I will choose. Which place? None of your business. And now it's not Mefurish, the place that it means, Har HaMoriah. It means the place that we know is the Makom HaMikdash. Why doesn't it ever say that? So Rabbi Abachai just quotes the Rambam that says, let's say the Rambam Moreh Nevuchim, that says there are three reasons why it's not quoted, why the Torah never tells us. One is because if it was said and everyone, it was open for everyone to read that this is a place where your tefillos will be most accepted, then there'd be even more fights from the Nachrim trying to take over Eretz Yisrael. We'd have even more tzaras from them. Number two, those who already lived there, the Knanim, would have totally destroyed the place, because knowing from the Torah that they would eventually get it, they'd want to destroy it. Maybe they would do their avodah zaras there. I'm not sure what he says. He says mashkisim oso b'chol mashi heim yicholim. And the third reason is that the Shvatim, the Jews, would fight. The Shvatim would fight amongst themselves about it. We know, and we'll eventually know either way. I don't know. Anyway, that's the three reasons that the Rambam quotes why the Torah doesn't specify it. Okay. Then we have this. The idea that you can't, the idea of Bamos, and that is that when there's a Beis HaMikdash, then you must bring Karbanos only in the Beis HaMikdash. When there's a Mishkan in the Midbar, you bring it only in the Mishkan. But then there's this time in between when there's no Beis HaMikdash, so then people made Mizbeachs in their backyard called a Bamai that you could bring certain types of karbanos, the ones that are voluntary. So you could bring a karban on your bama in your backyard. That was only allowed when there was no Mishkan in the Midbar or Shiloh, Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. That's what the pasuk says. that teaches us that when there's a Beis HaMikdash around, you're not allowed to bring karbanos anywhere else, but otherwise, when there's no Beis HaMikdash around, you can. So the drasha is on Menucha, which is Shiloh, and Nachla is Yerushalayim. So it's just the halacha. The Rabbeinu Bachai points out that there was the Mishkan in the Midbar. When there was the Mishkan around, the Jews had to bring karbanos in the Mishkan. Then once they got into Israel, they reestablished the Mishkan in several places, in Galgal and Nov and Givon. All those didn't count. The only places that counted, where you'd have to bring it to a specific place, was the Mishkan in the Midbar and Shiloh, because there was an actual bias house built there, and in Yerushalayim. But Nov and Givon, Gilgal, those places, they reestablished the Mishkan that was in the Midbar, but it wasn't like the Mishkan when it was in the Midbar, because there was no concept of machanos in Israel. So until you had a house, until you had a place, like in Shiloh and Yerushalayim, you were allowed to be makriv babama. But in Shiloh and in Yerushalayim, there was no... in other words, once there was a Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim or the place in Shiloh, when it was standing, you had to bring it to your karbanos there, otherwise not. Okay, this is just him bringing down halacha from the Rambam in Pirushan Mishnayis. Okay, then we have this fascinating thing about not eating blood. So we have kind of conflicting opinions here, Rashi brings, really, about what was this Isser to eat dam? Was this something that was like hard for them to do, or was this something that was no big deal? So, if you look at Rashi, you'll see that Rashi brings two Tanaim. Rabbi Yehuda says that when it says, "Rak chazak levati echal adam," be careful, it's very, very strong, don't eat blood. It was hard for them to not eat blood, because in Egypt they were very into blood, into eating blood. And Rabbi Shimon ben Azai says the opposite, because who the heck wants to eat blood? So therefore, it's very easy to stay away from it. And if the Torah goes out of its way to tell you, be very strong, don't eat blood. So you see, if that's what the Torah tells you for a mitzvah, that's no big deal to listen to. So imagine, and you get schar for that, imagine the schar you get for keeping a mitzvah that's very hard to stay away from. So Rabbeinu Bachai just points out the reason that they were obsessed with eating blood in the Midbar in Egypt, was because that's how you it helped you with your serving, with Shadim. If you did certain types of magic or whatever, I don't know if the word is magic, but if you want to get Shadim, some kind of spiritual demons, to help you do your evil work. So if you eat, it's lahavdil, elef alfei avdalos, like the dark side. If you want to get connected to Kochos HaTomei, you got to do stuff like that, hang out in cemeteries and things. Anyway, so you eat blood, and eating blood helped you with Shadim. Just agav, if you go, at least it used to be, there was if you're in New York, the Metropolitan Museum of Art, they had this, it's a history museum, really. And they had this diorama, I guess you would call it, that they discovered. And it shows Egyptians slaughtering a cow and catching the blood and making blood cakes out of it. And that's, Egyptians were very into eating blood. And the Jews lived there for all those years, so they got into eating blood. And the Rabbeinu Bachai says it was to help with kishuf. There may have been other reasons. But so the Jews at that time were very into eating blood, so therefore for them it was a big nisayon to get out of the habit. And the Torah, if you know, you notice, talks about it a lot. There's a bunch of times in the Torah it says, don't eat blood, don't eat blood, don't eat blood. In this parsha, other places, I think he says it was seven times the Torah mentions don't eat blood. So it was hard for them to not eat blood. And then at the same time we have, who wants to eat blood? It's the easiest mitzvah in the world. I think you see from here, I think, I could be wrong, because these are different opinions, but they must dumb it all, Torah, that the Torah, you see from here, I think, the Torah works on two levels. It's talking to the people who received the Torah, that generation, the people in the Midbar, and it's also talking to us. So you'll find this, the Torah telling you a million times, don't do Avodah Zarah, because that was very hard for them. But it's also super important for us not to Avodah Zarah, or any modern version of Avodah Zarah. And the same with the blood. So the Torah was talking to them. For them, it was Rak Chazak L'Pati Echol Adam. For them, it might have been very difficult to get out of the habit. And for them, that was the message for them. And the message for us is, it's still a mitzvah to us. And for us, it's not a big deal. And you still get schar nowadays, if you have in mind, I'm not going to eat blood. Someone offers you a chicken that wasn't salted, and you say, I'm not going to eat it because it's treif, and I'm not going to eat it because it got blood, and I don't like to eat blood because Hashem says not to eat blood. You get schar for that. So certainly, how much more so you get schar for mitzvos that are difficult for a person to do. We'll get back to a little bit of that point shortly. Okay. Then there's, I think it's an important medrash. There Rebbeinu B'chai brings in the medrash Tanchuma. That it says, Ki achris Hashem lokechas ha-goyim. I'll just tell you what this medrash says. I can't say I understand it 100%, but it's an important message either way. You can look it up yourself. It's medrash Tanchuma on the words, Ki achris Hashem lokechas es ha-goyim in Pasuk Chavtes. So it says there, a mashal to a king who had a vineyard, and in the vineyard there were cedar trees and thorns. And the king went ahead and cut down the cedar trees. Now again, this is a vineyard, right? The assumption is you don't need either of them. They both stink. You don't need cedar trees, you don't need thorns in your vineyard. The king goes ahead and cuts down only the cedar trees, leaves the thorns. So his servants say to him, Adoneinu HaMelech, your highness, thorns really stink. They're hard for us to take care of the kerem. I mean, there's thorns everywhere and their rips are closed and all this stuff, and that you left and you chopped down the trees. Why was that? He said, I believe the response is, it says, if I would have cut down the thorns, then mahisi goder karmi, how would I have protected my vineyard? I think that's what it means to say. How would I have protected my vineyard without the thorns? Rather, I'll keep the thorns, and then I guess when it's grown, you'll burn the thorns later. So let the kerem grow nicely and then burn the thorns later. I think that's the mashal. Either way, he says, the nimshal is Jewish people are compared to a vineyard. And so when we got into Eretz Yisrael, there was the Amori, who were compared to cedar trees. As it says, V'nochi shemalatei samori b'pnecha m'sharki gova arazim govho. And he left the week, the b'nehem, he says, Hineach es b'nehem, but b'nehem could not sham. So they're watching the kerem. What does that mean? We're the kerem. We're Klal Yisrael as the kerem, and Hashem left some goyim around to keep us in check, meaning that we shouldn't think we could do whatever avera we want and nothing will happen. As it says, Ve'ela goyim asher niach Hashem lanasos bam es Yisrael. So Hashem got rid of the strong goyim, left some goyim around to keep us in check, so that if we sin, the goyim will attack us and cause tzaras for us and we'll do tshuva. And then, when the kerem is alamdo and it's perfect, then Hashem will burn the kotzim. As it says, V'hayu ha'amim misrefosid kotzim kesuchim eish etzisu. Okay, enough said. Next, Pasuk goes on to say that you should follow in the ways of Hashem. Machari Hashem lakechun teilechun, ososi ra'u, ubosid bakun. So you should go after Hashem your God, and Oso Siro, fear him. So it's interesting, Rebbeinu B'chai there says, Oso Siro means don't think about Hashem's Atzmius, Hashem's self. In other words, Es Achare Hashem Lokechem Teilchum means follow his ways. Chazal, we have Halach, that's like Valach the Bedrachav. Follow God's Midos, if just like Hashem is merciful, so we should be merciful. But Oso Siro, fear him, but don't try to figure out Hashem's self. Actual self, and listen to his voices, to his voice, also to avodu, which means to daven. Ubosid bakun. Now, Rebbeinu B'chai has a few pshatim here. What does it mean to ubosid bakun, to attach yourself to Hashem? One pshat he says is that you should attach yourself to Hashem just like an eved. He's not the opposite of an eved. Even if he likes his master, usually wants to get lost from the master because he doesn't like being told what to do. So bosid bakun means even though you're serving Hashem as an eved to a master, you shouldn't want to run away. You should want to be connected to Hashem. Second pshat is that bosid bakun means even when you're going to work, you're still your mind should be connected to Hashem. That's a bosid bakun. The last pshat he says is that it's a haftacha, it's a promise. Meaning if you follow God's ways, and you are in awe of him, and you keep his mitzvahs, and you listen to his voice, and you serve him with davening, then Hashem promises ubosid bakun, then you will become attached to God, meaning that's the schar in olam hazeh, what we wait for in olam haba is to be connected to Hashem. So if you do all those ubosid bakun, you will be davek to Hashem, you'll be attached to Hashem. Okay, then we have the Navi. The Navi, you have some Navim, a false Navi, that if he says, go worship Avodah Zarah, you kill him. But if he says on the other mitzvos, temporarily, that Hashem says temporarily today, don't keep this mitzvah for whatever reason. If he's known as a Navi, in other words, beforehand, we know him to be a kosher Navi, he's muchzik to be a Navi. And now he says, I'm telling you not to keep this mitzvah, not forever, but don't keep it today. So then you listen to him. So, and the way we know a person is a Navi is if they make a sign, they make a wonder. So Rabbeinu Bechai says that, which we trust this business. We trust a Navi, who is, of course, muchzik. We're talking about someone who's muchzik as a Navi. We know him to be a good Navi. He's done either a miracle or a sign before. We know him to be a tzaddik. And so then when he says not to do a mitzvah, so how do we know? Maybe he made it up. So he says, we go with this chazak. It's similar to Edom. When you have, if you come to a court case, you need two kosher witnesses. And if two kosher witnesses say, we saw Reuven kill Shimon, so they kill Reuven. Maybe those two witnesses are lying. Okay, well, maybe we'll never know 1,000% the truth. So the Torah gave us rules. If you have two people who are known to be kosher people, and they say they saw Reuven kill Shimon and they warned him and all this other stuff, so then we trust them, even though it may not be true. That's what we go with. So through here, if you have a Navi who was known as a Navi, a real Navi, has proven to be a Navi, and now he says, don't keep this mitzvah today. So we go with that. And if the guy's lying, nothing we could do about it. That's Hanistaris Hashem Elokeinu Manigla Son of Aneinu Ad Olam. Okay. We have a pasuk about someone who tries to get you to do Avodah Zarah. It says, Ki harog taregenu. You should kill him. So Rabbeinu Bechai says that the Torah is kulo rachmim. It's all rachmim. It's all merciful. So when the Torah says to kill someone, it's telling you that you, not in a way that you should kill him because you are vengeful. Let's say Reuven murders. You have a murderer. So why should you kill him? Should you kill him because to take vengeance? Or for some other reason? So Rabbeinu Bechai says, when the Torah tells us ever to kill someone, it's never because of vengeance. It's always because to protect everybody else. Or so that everybody else should learn. Meaning, we kill this guy, not because we're vengeful to kill the murderer, but because, in a case of murder, you're protecting everybody else. But even more than that, everybody else needs to know that murder results in the death penalty, so don't murder. So, that's what he says. That's why the pasuk says, Ke'arog taregenu, this person tries to convince you to do Avodah Zarah. So it says, Ke'arog taregenu, yadcha b'riyadotiyabah b'rishona, and you give him skila. So he says that's the Torah telling you why we kill the guy. We kill the guy so that everyone should see and know, and no one should ever do this again. Not out of vengeance to this guy, because the Torah is kula rachmim. Rather, it's to have rachmanos on everybody else, that everybody should stay doing the right things. Then you have the story of the Ir HaNidachas, where people who are bnei Blial, which he explains to be the word Blial. Right, it means evil, right? But the sinners. But here, Bnei Blial, the Rabbeinu Bechai says it comes from Shelo Ya'ale b'michitzaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Blial. The person will not go up to Hashem's mechitza. Or it means Bliol. That's the one I think Rashi brings as well. Without the yoke of Shemayim. And then they successfully convince the city to worship Avodah Zarah, so you have to wipe out the city. And then we leave the city. Tel olam lo yibana od. So just one line here from the Rabbeinu Bechai. He says when he's explaining Api Kabbalah that tel olam lo yibana od means they won't come back for Tchiyas Hamesim. That's lo yibana od. Then we have the pasuk when someone dies, do not tear your rick or hurt yourself. Losis go to do. You don't make gedidos. Words escaping me. You don't hurt yourself over a dead person to cut yourself. You don't cut yourself because banim atem l'Hashem lekechem, because you're a banim to Hashem. So Rabbeinu Bechai explains this, that we are banim to Hashem, and for the Emorim, or for any Nachrim, Olam Hazeh is the Iker. So when they die, it's the biggest loss in the world. But for us, death is obviously bad, but we believe in Olam Haba, we believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim, we believe the person's neshama is going to its eternal reward, And therefore, it calls us banim, because what would a father give to his son? The best thing, right? So banim atem l'shem elokeichem. The best is the eternity, the olam haba. So therefore, we can't be so upset like that, to rip out hair and that kind of business, to because we trust in Hashem that even though the guf is lost, olam haba is coming, and therefore we're not as upset. So we have also the idea of giving a ma'aser aser to aser. So he brings the medrash aser b'shvil shlo tischaser. Being ma'aser is that you shouldn't lose. So that is, he says, a remez, brings from the medrash, the remez, the mefarshi yamim, lahotzi echad me'asara la'amlei Torah. To give 1/10 la'amlei Torah. Yeah, he also brings this, the medrash that says that a story of someone who used to bring, his father used to bring 10% always for Meiser, and it would make 1,000 measures. So he would give 100 for Meiser, and from the rest he would live. And then when he died, he told the son, do the same thing. And the son was cheap, and he only gave 90, and then the field didn't produce as much, and it kept going down, 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 down. This is a famous story. Until it got down to, I think it's Gemara too, it got down to 10% of what it had been giving, and they said, oh, the relative said, good job, buddy. Now you got the 10% instead of Hashem. Anyway, so therefore you should give tzedakah, so that it keeps your money around, not the opposite. And he also brings us perish from the Ravid of Aser. We know Aser b'shvil shetis'ah, share. Give off Maisha that you should be rich, but the Ravid says, no, that's not what it means. Asher, Aser b'shvil shetis'aser mimenu shanim rabos. That's how he learns it. Not Aser b'shvil shetis'asher, get rich, but Aser b'shvil shetis'aser mimenu shanim rabos. And that's the Osher. In general, we have a lot of discussion here about tzedakah, as the parsha goes on. It says, Nason titein lo, which he explains to mean the double Osher. Nason titein lo is benachas, nicely. When you give tzedakah, give it nicely, not like derech gaiva. And with this, Hashem will bless you. And he explains al pi Kabbalah that the ani is like midas hadin, because he's poor. And if you give him, so you're putting rachamim into din, and that supports the whole world. So when you give tzedakah to an ani, you're being meshatef rachamim into din, and the world can't exist without that. So besides the regular tzedakah, how important it is, there's also that the Kabbalistic aspect. But anyway, what I wanted to more focus on is this interesting thing he says, that we find in this parsha of tzedakah a lot about artecha, when you're in your land. So it says, if somebody's poor in your sha'arim, and it ends off, in your land, if somebody will be poor, someone's poor in Israel, then you have a mitzvah tzedakah. In the end of the parsha, it says, since there's always going to be poverty, therefore I command you, pasuach tiftech es yadcha leichicha laniyecha, give money to the poor man, in your land. So the Rebbeinu B'chaim wants to know, what is all this talk about in your land when it comes to tzedakah? This is not the mitzvah from the mitzvah Hatluyas Barat. Tzedakah is not a mitzvah that only applies in Israel. Tzedakah applies everywhere. So what does it mean in the parsha to constantly talk about if there is a person in your land, all this about in your land, and this has nothing to do with Israel? So he says 2 points. One is that that's not 100% true, in the sense that really all mitzvahs, he said this a couple times, all mitzvahs, the main place to do all of this tarryag mitzvahs is in Israel. And there's Lashonos and Chazal make it sound like all the mitzvahs we do outside of Israel is almost like practice for when we get back to Israel. But the main place certainly for the mitzvahs are in Israel. And therefore he says that's one part of it, why it says Baratzecha, because that's the main place for keeping mitzvahs is in Israel. And the second reason is that it's a chiddush. You might think you don't have to give tzedakah in Israel because, look, you're giving all this meiser and you're giving away all this money and there's shmita and there's all kinds of stuff where you got to give up money. So maybe you think you're putzer from the mitzvah of tzedakah, of some guy, stama, a poor man walks over to you in the middle of the street one day in Israel and asks for money. Maybe you'd say, I'm putzer, I give all this money, I got shmita to deal with, I got meisers to deal with. Maybe you don't have to give tzedakah in Israel. Therefore, it's a chiddush to tell you, even in Israel, you have to give tzedakah. Okay, I think one last point I'll end off with is just an interesting concept he mentions, which is Torah sometimes writes mitzvos in the plural and sometimes in the singular. For example, v'lakachtam lechem b'yom harishon, that's plural. Or v'samachtam lefnei Hashem elokeichem, that's plural. And then there's also a pasuk v'samachta b'chagecha, that's singular. So why does the Torah, what does it mean that Torah sometimes gives mitzvos in the singular, sometimes in the plural? So he says that the mitzvos that are said over in the plural only apply to Beis Din, because that's you people, refers to Beis Din, like the municipality, the Jewish people as a whole. It's not a chiyuv on each individual. When the Torah says an individual, like it's balach shon yachid, it means each individual person must do this mitzvah. So therefore, you'll find many mitzvahs said in both ways to let you know that it's both. In other words, every individual has to keep it too, not just based in. And lulav, as an example, which only says it in the plural, lakach talchem b'yom harishon, so you might have thought that's only Beis Din has to take it, and individuals do not. And we know in the Beis HaMikdash it took it 7 days, and not in the Beis HaMikdash, it's only a Doraisa, so 1 day. So where do you see that there's a chiyuv of an individual at all? So he says that's why it's next to V'samachtam Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem, because that mitzvah sure applies to everybody, because there's another pasuk that says V'samachtam B'chagecha, individual. So therefore that's how you know that just like, it's telling you just like the mitzvah of Simchas HaRegel is on everybody, so too the mitzvah of Lulav is on everybody. But it's important you so to remember as you look through the Torah that when you find something said to individual, in the Lashon Yachin, it refers to an individual, and you find something Lashon Rabbim, it refers to the Jewish people as a whole, or based on. And the reason Rabbi Bachai mentions it here is because it says, Shiva Shavuos Tisparlach, and we're talking about counting the Omer, so it says Shiva Shavuos Tisparlach. That's Lashon Yachid, to let you know that everybody has that mitzvah. Okay, let's stop here.